Joining us now is Christopher Scalia, Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia's youngest son. He is also the editor of the book Scalia Speaks, Reflections on Law, Faith, and Life Well Lived. Christopher, good morning and welcome to Mornings on the Mall. Glad to have you back.
Great to be back. Thanks a lot, Mary and Vince.
You know what's so interesting? This month marks 2 years since your father passed, which is amazing because it just seems like it was recently. What's it like to have a father who 2 years after his passing is still in the news? People are still discussing him. He had such an impact on American society. What's that like to inherit that?
It's very hard to describe. You're right. In some ways, it seems like it happened yesterday, but so much has happened since that it's hard to believe it's only been 2 years in other ways. Mm-hmm. But it's been, I guess, in some ways, obviously, I miss him. It's difficult for me still that he's gone. But it's also been very gratifying mostly just gratifying hearing so many nice things about him from so many people, and just get, especially since the book has come out, meeting so many people who have had wonderful things to say about him and whose minds and lives he's affected. That's been really, really rewarding and heartwarming, really.
Well, we're glad to have had him be a part of the lives of the country, too, because you're not the only one who misses him. This is a moment right now in America where we could use clarity of thought, and Scalia, and your father, Justice Scalia, was known for that. You know, this week, for instance, Joe Scarborough on his program invoked your father's name to basically say, look, even Antonin Scalia would be okay with AR-15s being banned. Is that your view, that he would be okay with something like that?
Well, I'm not an expert on his Second Amendment jurisprudence. I do think Scarborough probably took it too far. My father, in the most important Second Amendment opinion that the court has done, the most recent one, Heller, in 2010, my father wrote the majority, and he confirmed that the Second Amendment is a personal right. But he did leave room open for, you know, certain restrictions. It wasn't a wide open right. And he said that eventually down the road, he said this in interviews too, that down the road the court will need to determine what exactly those restrictions could be, what weapons could be restricted. He never had the chance to say in an opinion exactly, you know, what weapons those would be. A lot of people who know his Second Amendment jurisprudence better than I do doubt that Scarborough was right.
Is this, I mean, now that he's gone, is this the type of thing you could share with us in terms of, did you ever have personal interactions with him that sort of enumerated what his views were on gun control outside of just the Supreme Court opinions that he gave?
Not that I recall. I feel like I'm at a Senate confirmation hearing, but yeah. I don't recall, Vince.
That's okay. We're just, yeah. I mean, you can understand my question.
No, absolutely. No, look, my father believed that the Second Amendment was, obviously he believed that it was a crucial right.
Yes.
He was a hunter himself, and though he grew up in New York City, he grew up around guns. He was on his high school's rifle team, so he would take, he tells in Scalia Speaks, he tells the story of how he used to take a rifle on the subway with him to school. It was in a case, but he was still carrying a rifle around, and that was somehow, back then, that was okay. And he liked to quote Madison, James Madison, who wrote about how Europeans were afraid to let their citizens carry weapons, and Madison and my father hoped that, and Madison hoped that America would never become like that.
Does it bother you when people like Joe Scarborough and others invoke your dad's name and say, well, this is what Antonin Scalia would think, or this is what he would do? Does that bother you, or do you take a sense of pride in it that people are speaking about him in that way, that he's that important?
Yeah. It's a little bit of both. I do like when liberals claim him, because it means that they kind of buy into his approach, even if they get him wrong. And as you probably know, in some opinions, his outcomes work in favor of liberal social policy, like with criminal rights and defendants' rights and things like that. But it is sometimes it can be frustrating when they clearly misrepresent him. But even then, you know, it's kind of a variation on imitation is the sincerest form of flattering. They are trying to claim him for themselves, which suggests that he's had a huge influence.
Chris Scalia, you know, I think we've asked you this before, but you know, every time we talk to you, this is one of the things I think that a lot of people are wondering is the extent to which Neil Gorsuch has been a good replacement for your father on the Supreme Court. Do you have any views on sort of how Justice Gorsuch has comported himself on the court and whether or not it sort of, you know, carries on the legacy of your father?
Yeah, I don't think anybody should expect Justice Gorsuch to be a Scalia clone just because I think that would be unfair to Justice Gorsuch. But I think that Justice Gorsuch has done just a great job. I think he's obviously, my father was a pretty big influence on him, and he said as much. He is a proud originalist, a proud textualist, and those are two approaches to jurisprudence that my father really carried forward and articulated clearly. So I think he's obviously fantastic in that regard, and I think fans of my father should be pretty pleased with what he's done so far.
The current court just decided not to hear a case out of California on 10-day waiting periods for purchasing guns, and it's caused Justice Clarence Thomas to be very upset with the Supreme Court about its decision-making process, and he's basically suggesting that the Second Amendment gets short shrift on the current composition of the court. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I read some of what Justice Thomas wrote, and my thoughts are that it was pretty compelling. He's a great writer, and obviously this is something he thinks is important. I think he probably has a good point that Americans in general don't view the Second Amendment the way they do other amendments for a variety of reasons. I don't know the merits of the Ninth Circuit decision and the cert that was before the court, but I'm often willing to agree with Justice Thomas.
And you will be here today at 3:00 signing copies of your book, Scalia Speaks, Reflections on Law, Faith, and Life Well Lived. So come on by, get your book signed. Thank you so much for joining us.
Right there at CPAC.
Thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Chris.
All right, bye.